the next big thing from Mercedes-Benz invites you to Get This with Tony Martin and Lockie Hume.
He's just flown in from Hollywood here.
I know, he's going to say libelous things.
I'm here to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
Well, we've already opened with a They Live reference, and we love the obscure movie references when Lockie Hume comes in.
Nerd hats on, everyone, if you're playing at home.
Last time we worked out how Superman cuts his hair.
Yes, we did. We got emails about
that. And I can
that.
Tell you, man, I actually met with some experts when I was in Los Angeles, and they can confirm that is correct. Superman cuts his hair by using his heat vision reflected off a mirror.
That's nonsense. That can't be right. Well, we'll try it out today.
Yeah, we'll give
it
Ed
will use his heat vision. It's all coming up on our movie episode.
Yeah, I've got some clips that that shouldn't be played.
Oh, that's the way we like them. But they will be played on Get This.
I think they must be pretty sick to come and rob from primary schools. Or rob from anywhere. Their values must be very low.
Their values might be low, but the price of copper isn't.
What? This isn't our price of copper show.
Copper update.
Metallurgy and filmmaking coming up. At Split Ends, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Get This everyone. Around the Nation. Myself, Tony Martin. It's our movie edition, so I'm played by Andrew McCarthy, Ed Cavalier.
I'll be Anthony Michael Hall today, as usual.
Oh, I'm not Chris Klein.
And obviously there's only one actor who could play me.
Who's that, Lockie?
The Goot.
Oh, Steve Guttenberg as Lockie Hume, and of course, Antonio Banderas as Richard Marsland.
How do we check?
Lockie, you're back literally from Hollywood.
I am, man. I got off the plane yesterday. I got to tell you, there was this really interesting thing going on in LA. They've done an anonymous poll of like the 50 most powerful agents and the 50 most powerful studio executives in Hollywood. It had to be all done anonymously because they've got to earn a living, obviously. And they were asked who were the worst people in Hollywood to work with.
And how high did you come on the list?
I came in a very, very close second to Mick Molloy.
Hey! So, now, I love these lists.
Yeah, I love
them. This is an interesting one, though, because actually it's like raw data.
Okay.
Let's have a guess. We've got to have a guess. Tone, who do you reckon was top of the pile?
Russell Crowe, surely.
Had to be. He was described, I can tell you, he was described as a rude, an arrogant man, and somebody who was seriously depressed and needed help.
Oh.
Well, poor
by executives.
I know.
Film executives said that.
I know. I can't help but feel the Goot's got to take some responsibility for that, though, because Russell is a Kiwi, and ever since Don't Tell Her It's Me was aired on this show.
Are we going to have to play those lines again? Our Newcastle listeners haven't heard them. Cue them up, Mr. Marsland. But you're right. I mean, when studio executives are pointing the moral compass.
I know.
From behind their ponytails. You're in deep trouble.
These are guys who need to be delivered medical spines as Christmas gifts. You know what I'm saying?
Who else is on the list?
Interestingly, Michael Mann rated as the most disagreeable filmmaker.
Really?
Why? Yeah.
He does do a lot of takes.
Yes. I think he's considered, according to this poll, as a bit of a bully and, you know,
is
he's
right?
very rude. But they also all qualified it by saying he's still so damn good as a filmmaker. Put up with it.
Yeah.
And interestingly, also, Brian Grazer, Ron Howard's producing partner, was voted worst producer to work with because he was a quote, shameless self-promoter. But he was followed very closely by my dear friend and producer of the Matrix films, Joel Silver, who was regarded as the biggest nutcase in Hollywood.
He's a very funny man if you see the impressions of him. If you've ever seen Rick Moranis doing his impression of Joel Silver.
And for those listening, if you've ever seen Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Joel Silver plays the head of Maroon Cartoons at the start, who goes berserk at Roger Rabbit at the very beginning of the movie.
Yes. And who was the one you said before that?
Brian Grazer.
Brian Grazer. He's the bloke who works with Ron Howard. Always looks like he's just stuck a fork in a toaster.
That's exactly
right. To get the hair happening.
And his hair's like stayed the same, but if you like do a progression of photos of Brian Grazer over the years, he's getting more and more withered and old. And he's, I reckon, I give it 10 years, he's going to look like a piece of beef jerky in a t-shirt.
Well, enough about the executives and all that lot. Let's get to the movies themselves. And last time you were here, big debate about obviously how Superman cuts his hair. After you left, there was a lot of debate about how he gets into the Fortress of Solitude. It was a giant key in the comics.
Yeah. Under a giant doormat.
Under a giant doormat. I knew it'd be something like that.
No, you idiot.
Sorry. A lot of people are chiming in on this. Save it, guys. Don't pick early.
All right.
Rob Brown has backed up your theory of how Superman uses his heat vision, bounces it off a mirror to cut the facial hair, and then he adds, his other hair, we can only assume, is done the same way. Now I'm picturing Superman with the pants open, with a bit series of mirrors, maybe a 7-Eleven mirror.
He's got a super Brazilian.
And just smoke coming out of the pants. It's a big job. It's not easy being super. Wow, so that
Can I just say big thanks? Is that Rob?
Yeah, Robbie Brown.
Thanks, Rob. Good on you, mate. I appreciate you for backing me up because they were looking at me like I was a lunatic when I unveiled that.
Surely you caused some trouble in Hollywood. What were you doing over there? Firstly, I know Macbeth is getting about.
We had the premiere of Macbeth at Toronto.
Yeah.
And, man, I don't know. I just, look, I did my first movie in Toronto 10 years ago, which is this film I wrote called Men with Guns.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And there's just something about me in Toronto that doesn't mix.
Oh, really? Is that right? So what did you do?
It just rubs me the wrong way. I nearly went postal and, you know.
Nearly.
I'm not going to be drawn into it, Tone. I'm not going to scandalise myself on air. One interesting thing, mate.
Yeah, Canadian Telecom have got a few problems. Yeah. That's the word. Word's going
hardware.
Yesterday.
Yeah, I'll come clean. I smashed up a phone in my hotel room.
Yeah.
Okay. But that was once the crime was committed.
With room
once, once the crime was committed, I see, there's the difference, by the way, folks, between me and Russell Crowe. I took it out on the phone. I didn't take the phone out on the hotel.
There it is.
Okay. Okay. I did it in the privacy of my room.
That's why Lockie's not on the list.
But once I realised that that crime had been committed, having that smashed up phone in the room was kind of like having a corpse in the room. I realised I had to smuggle the corpse out. So I was there for a couple of days. So I hid it all in a plastic bag. I thought about it because I couldn't ring room service anymore. So I was stuck in the room. Yeah. But I stuffed it in a plastic bag and then casually the next morning went for a stroll around the back of the hotel and dropped it in a dumpster.
Disposed of the body.
Yes.
There you go.
The perfect crime, of course, until I come back here and had confessed to it on national radio.
What was that? Now, let me guess. Some review of Macbeth or something that Jeffrey Wright said or didn't say at the premiere? Yeah.
It was
some look someone
gave
probably
you. A combination of all three. I tell you, I was that drunk, I can't remember what was going on.
Hey, you know, but because you've gone head-to-head with reviewers over the years.
I have, yes.
Who's this bloke you were telling me about who's beating them up?
Oh, man. Oh, God. Talk about worst lists. One person who didn't make this worst list in Hollywood, it's because no one in Hollywood would ever want to do any business with him. He's a film director who I've been investigating in my, you know, my desire to know the scurrilous underbelly of the industry. His name is Uwe Boll.
Oh, yes. Uwe Boll, B-O-L-L.
Yeah. Now, this guy, his career has been founded on taking video games and doing crappy film adaptations of video games.
But he's quite happy about that.
He loves it, but he sees himself in the mould of like a David Lynch or a Sergio Leone, as opposed to the Edward D. Wood Jr. bracket that he probably should be falling under.
What are some of the bowl titles?
Okay, well,
who...
he did a film called Blood Rain. And amazing is the casts he gets. He's got Ben Kingsley in Blood Rain. You know what I mean? Like, what is Ben Kingsley hard up for a buck that he's got to nick off to Prague to do an Uwe Boll film? What's the world coming? That's like one of the four signs of the apocalypse, man.
Oh, I don't see, like... don't want to see Gandhi stooping that low.
No. But, you know, Uwe Boll.
Did he do that one, Alone in the Dark?
He did Alone in the Dark.
Yeah.
He's done House of the Dead.
House of the Dead?
I don't know, man. I don't watch these things. But suffice to say, he's just copped a mauling from fans.
Yeah.
No one likes his films. Not even the people who buy the video games and then would not, you know, ordinarily be somebody who would buy a ticket to one of his movies. Even they hate this guy because he just completely throws out the plot of the video game and just comes up with his own crap.
How does he keep making films?
Well, it's all some sort of self-finance. He's got some dodgy financing deal from somewhere. I don't know.
I've
just begun my investigation, Ed. Next time we do a movie show, I'll be back with the results.
But the reviewers do love to just kick into the bowl oeuvre.
That's true.
And so what's he decided to do?
The Uwe oeuvre.
straight out of the bowl.
So what he did, what Mr. Uwe Boll has done is challenged these critics to a series of boxing matches so that he can beat the crap out of them in the ring.
And he's up to six
of them.
And they say yes. That's what I like.
Of course, they were all happy to to jump in. And one, interestingly, though, and he really took it very seriously. I mean, he was beating the living crap out of these critics,
wow.
right? And who hasn't wanted to do that occasionally? But this is taking a little bit too far. One of the critics, though, a guy called who writes for a magazine called Rue Morgue, a guy called Chris Alexander, who was one of the opponents, says, I think I got him once in the face for Alone in the Dark, and I got maybe one or two for Blood Rain. I have absolutely no regrets. This is the weirdest pop culture bizarre journalism stunt I've ever been involved in.
Fantastic. And, you know, let's hope that Uwe Boll pops down under to maybe take on David Stratton.
I'm just thinking maybe Uwe Boll might somehow be involved in Yobbo's Up the Guts.
Oh, look. If Yobbo's Up the Guts goes down at the hands of the critics, and we've had no updates whatsoever.
Yeah, what's going on with it?
In case Newcastle are wondering, this is an Australian film that's being shot in the outback. Yeah. Bill Hunter is taken over directing after the star Warwick Capper punched out the Russian director. Yep. Creative differences.
Yep. Wow. Yep. They're not even waiting for the critics.
Hang on a second. Did Capper get dumped from the film, or did the director got dumped?
You don't take a star of Capper's caliber off a movie like Yobbo's.
That's
up the guts,
very
mate.
True. Because
it's the director goes. Maybe.
Will strip in your garage for $3,000.
So long as there's no grass. Now, the thing is, it must be finished because Kappa's back on the Gold Coast selling timeshare.
And it was supposed to be coming out in November, even though it was still shooting in August.
That often happens, though. They often push release dates back closer to awards season.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, okay.
A lot of Oscars buzz around Yobbo Up the Guts.
There's a lot of buzz. Around Yobbo's Up the Guts.
You know how your film came out, Bad Eggs, right?
Yes.
Was it universally lauded by critics?
Oh, it was about half and half, I have to say.
What about you, T. Martin?
Yeah.
You get a mud wrestle with the ones that didn't give it a run?
Yeah. Gee, it'd be quite a queue, though.
I tell you. A striped-style mud wrestle.
They're also fat, though, the ones I'm thinking
that's
of.
That's why Cavalier said mud. If it was just you and some skinny guys, it would have been a jello wrestle.
It would have been.
I've been trying to get Mick Molloy to take on that Michael Adato from the Sydney Moor. He's going down.
Really?
He's got this kind of physique that's just going to absorb the punches. And see, I'm not going to have much. I'm trying to think. Me and David Stratton.
But you got quickness on your side, man. You got quickness. And Stratton's getting old.
You got to whoop him.
I reckon.
You got to take David Stratton.
Call in.
You got to whoop him.
Call in. If you think
I got to whoop Stratton.
If you reckon Tone can beat Stratton in a mud wrestle, G-strings, call in. Call in.
That is some disturbing sizzle.
That's a good event. That's straight after the table tennis tournament's finished. Right, everyone, off to the mud ring.
Pre-match entertainment, Warwick Capper.
Brilliant. In a garage.
Whoa.
On the paddock.
Oh.
So you say after the table tennis tournament.
Yeah, yeah.
And after the Todd and Brand Film Festival.
Oh, it's time
for
a
after the
we'll
funniest
be back
home
with
videos.
More of Get This
and
in
after
a moment.
The show from inside a
the,
canvas bag.
The big cheerio to Richard Swingo.
And it's after Captain
okay,
Week.
Okay, Snow Patrol.
That'll be Snow Patrol here at Get This Around the Nation. It's our movie edition, and it's brought to you by Mercedes-Benz and their next big thing. We reckon it's going to be a talking van. Surely it's going to be that. A van that can review movies, that's what I'm hoping. You just suck at the lights. How many stars for that Hilary Duff film?
None.
Three?
No.
Oh, you've been watching Hilary Duff films.
Yeah, The Doof. Oh, yesterday.
The Doof. Flocky Hume is here.
Oh, the shade.
Hi.
I said I'd go and watch the Aquamarine.
Have you done that?
Well, it's a funny thing, because I went to the movies to go and have a look at it, and it's it must be like holidays or something, or just finished or something going on, because I went there, and it was during the day, and I was the only...
It's all very confusing,
20-something-year-old male.
Yeah.
Amongst a sea of, like, teenage girls.
Right.
And this is a problem, why?
No, because you look like a sicko, Lockie. You look like when you're just rocking up saying, one for Aquamarine, please. You feel like they're going to hand you a trench coat. You know what I'm saying? So I couldn't do it. I couldn't go through it.
You couldn't go through
couldn't
it.
You panicked.
Because this is a film that's set in the States, but shot in Australia and just populated with Australian accents.
Are you American accent? Are you in it, Ed? Are you in this film?
No, but
not pretending to eat a burger in the background right. or some such thing?
Who's in there? Sean McAuliffe's in there doing an American accent.
Yeah, he's in there. There's a bunch of them. There's a bunch. Anyway,
has he been sacked yet?
No.
We need him to be sacked so we can come on our show. Surely that show's going to be act soon.
Everybody, just give Vega a call.
Well, it's best not to name them, though. I mean, usually we don't name them when we do that.
Sorry. Well, that's all right. Somebody had to give them a plug. They've run out of their advertising budget already.
Let's get back to movies. Yeah. I generally don't bring up bad eggs.
No.
But it does lead me to a phenomenon that does happen on TV occasionally when they show movies. Tom Gleisner pointed it out years ago. Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When they go to the ads, or when they used to go to the ads on Channel 10 when they were showing it, they'd have a little card.
Yeah, and they'd play a bit of theme music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the card they would show was the shot from the end of the movie where Harrison Ford and Karen Allen are tied to that post.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that way you knew it was going to happen.
Yeah. Because if you remember, the whole middle hour of Raiders of the Lost Ark, you think she's dead because she disappears into that basket, and then the basket puts in the truck, and the truck blows up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they go to the ads on Channel 10. There she is, tied to the post.
Right.
And Channel 9 did that when they showed Bad Eggs. They showed the logo when they went to the ads was everyone just walking away happily ever after at the end of the film. And they also, for some reason, had a disgraced David Stratton every time they went to the ads.
Really?
I don't know how that happened. Any news on our boxing match yet?
He's keen.
Would he have glasses on, do you think? Would he keep the glasses on?
It's goggles. It'd be goggles, I reckon, for your mud. G-bangers and goggles. Best first to five rounds. A win by a pinfall or submission.
He's going to have a Criterion Collection laser disc down the back of his pants. He's going to be pulling something.
Smack you with it.
He fights dirty, doesn't he?
I've heard that. What are we talking about here? Ed has got some clips.
Well, I never know what we're going to do in these movie shows, so I try and have a couple of clips ready.
Well, I wish you'd read the memos, because Tony and I have this all worked out.
It's all prepared over this end, buddy.
Listen, I've got something from a film that I want to sizzle called The Aristocrats. Now, before I say it's Penn and Teller. No, Penn and Teller, is that their name?
It's the dirtiest joke of all time. It's 100 comedians telling it.
It's hilarious.
Surely nothing we can play on the show.
Well, this is all that we can play. This is Bob Saget from Full House, about the dad from Full House about to tell the joke, and this is all we can play.
His family, mother, father, and four kids. And the agent goes, well, what do you people do? Father's like, watch us.
That's it. It's an hour and 40 minutes.
And that's the only bit you can play.
And even then, I had to clean it up with Maddie for about 20 minutes. It is, if you like filth, and lots of it.
Yep, us.
It's Armitage.
Yeah, it's brilliant, and I love Bob Saget's version is one of the best.
He's just.
I haven't seen the film, but I did. I remember reading the review. Marsland, you've hit the nail on the head yet again.
There you
because
go.
I know you're a bit of a Saget kind of a fella. You're kind of a Full House kind of a guy.
You are a Full House guy.
Isn't he? Don't you
he
think?
He looks a bit like Joey.
He's got a touch of that. He's got a bit of the Olsen twins or allure about him as well.
Touch of the Olsen twins.
I thought
about
maybe
him.
Dave Coulier.
Who's Dave Coulier?
Oh, yeah, he was on that, and I saw him on Celebrity Dancing on the Ice thing in the States, man, and he was really cool, man. I can see a big, big future for you, Marsland. You play your cards right, old windswept, and we'll get you where you need to be going.
All right.
And Alanis Morissette can write a song about me.
Oh! Yes.
Well, I'm sure she'll have that on Things to Do right now.
You and that jumper of yours.
A little post-it note.
There's so much going on here. Hang on, The Aristocrats, I'm certain there would be reference to the phrase Dirty Sanchez.
Oh, it's... Yeah.
Which came up on the show the other day, and we were talking about the Screech sex video.
Oh, man.
Have you seen it, Lockie?
No, I haven't, but it was the buzz of L.A., man, when I was there, because this is the funny thing.
It was the buzz of L.A.
Every meeting I was in, that was... Why do I look like the kind of guy who would have seen the Screech Dustin Diamond porno video? Because every meeting I was in was like, hey, man, have you seen the Screech porn yet? I haven't, but I did read about it on the net, and the great thing out of it is his agent goes, maybe now we'll start getting some bookings that his career's got a bit of heat on him.
Bit of Sanchez heat. He's going to ride Sanchez tsunami all the way to box office gold.
You know, any actor with half a brain would go, well, you know what, the career's in the toilet. Why don't we think about getting ourselves out of this mess by maybe developing a comedy idea or developing something. But not the brainiacs at Dustin Diamond Incorporated. That's Screech Inc. It's like, rip your kid off.
Let's get
a camcorder on you.
I don't know if this is buzz that you want to be capitalising on.
But
Saved
so
by
funny.
The Sanchez. Sadly, one thumb up. Right, what other clips have you got for us, Ed?
Well, I thought then we'd do classic movie lines. I thought we'd do that. And one of the films that we like to give a bit of sizzle to is The Flying High and Your Aeroplane. Because the thing is, it dawned on me that I thought everyone had seen this film 100 times.
Yeah, surely.
But I met someone the other day who'd never seen it, never heard of it.
This is Airplane everywhere in the world except Australia.
Yeah.
Where local distributors went, people might think it's a real airport movie.
Yeah.
We better call it Flying High.
And it's an amazing, like, satire. And it's, but it's also made, set as an absolute drama, as a kind of like disaster film.
Yeah.
And this is just a classic line from this. Here we go.
This woman has to be gotten to a hospital.
A hospital? What is it?
It's a big building with patients. That's not important right now.
Oh, it was great in its day.
And that's your Leslie Nielsen.
But people quote him back to you. You know, they thrash those lines.
They do. They do. Yeah. And that's one of the ones that gets absolutely caned. But the film itself, if you haven't ever seen it, come on.
I've seen it, but I don't. I think The Naked Gun is far superior.
Really?
Far superior, man.
Listen and learn, Stratton.
Yeah.
It's where the big end is.
Yeah.
The big end of movie town. Flying Eye v Naked Gun.
Look, if you want to box about it,
I think this show's going along swimmingly, but we're not really geeking it out enough.
Oh,
we're
look,
not getting into the minutiae.
If
are we?
We're playing great lines from movies, if you've got a bit of Gavin Wood from Houseboat, we always love that.
Hey, guys, girls, it's party time. Come up here. It's Fuse Magnificent, your bar up.
Of course you will. Of course you will.
How are the girls going to bar up?
Yeah. Jack Nicholson, what's he doing? He's back in The Departed. It's a Martin Scorsese film. It's a remake of that Infernal Affairs.
Infernal Affairs, Hong Kong action film.
Yes.
Good.
What's Jack saying?
Well, Jack's back. I just want to say that.
Because
you can't talk about Nicholson without just saying that phrase.
He's
Jack's
so wonderful.
Back.
He's been single from some time.
Yep.
So I have varied company. And this is a fantastic quote from him. In terms of age, you could say that over the last year, I've probably covered the territory from 21 to 61.
Oh, yeah!
He's getting around!
That's his
21 to 61.
That's a couple of generations there.
Doesn't look like he's done a day of exercise in his life.
Why would he?
Doesn't need to do anything.
It just doesn't worry about there's no place.
Here he is in this picture from the paper. There is just sitting, stomach hanging out, sunglasses on, big Cheshire cat.
Grin is the word you're fighting for there.
Years in radio have done it to me.
Yeah. 21
and he's just,
to 61.
He's just got these nubile 20-year-old supermodels dripping off him. You know, like he had them sewn onto his jacket. You know?
Is that going to be good? I hear he's
dark. He's gone back to his dark, dark, dirty Nicholson approach to acting. I've just read this interview where I don't know how this ties into the plot of The Departed time, but I will say that Jack is proudly trumpeting the fact that he's doing a scene with a strap-on dildo.
Apparently, yes. It's an interrogation scene.
Yes.
Well, what else would it be?
Where he's got the dildo out.
Yeah.
All right.
Family entertainment coming your way in The Departed.
We've reached our level.
Yeah, here we go.
Ed used to work in a video shop. How many years?
8.5.
We're going to have a special tribute.
I hear that it was a family-run video store.
It was. It was Mom and Pop.
Wowee.
Yeah, yeah.
Not your mum and pop.
No, not my mum and pop.
They've never been located.
I shudder to think what would it be like if they'd run one together.
That'd be boarded up out the front.
Oh, dear.
We've got a treat for video shop fans. Anyone who's ever worked in a video shop, that'll be coming up next.
Right. Get this.
What absolute toddler.
For the next big thing from Mercedes-Benz.
Around the nation.
Newcastle too.
And Newcastle on KOFM.
Nuevo Castrians.
New one, Tone. You went, instead of going, let's get this, you went, around the nation.
I'm rotating them. Some test better than others from different markets.
That cut through. It's
our movie episode.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about anything but movies, Ed.
Okay.
The Superman debates, I think, are over. We've worked out how he cuts his hair, how he gets into the Fortress of Solitude.
Yep. How he gives himself a Brazilian.
Where he keeps the normal clothes in a pocket in the cape.
Pocket in the cape.
That's right. Okay. You never let me finish that. You'd never let me finish
what
that.
Do you mean? That's because we only have a 1 hour
you
show.
You started getting stuck into me about that. I said he compresses the clothes down, and I was about to say, puts them in a little pocket in the back of the cape, and you cut me off.
So, my question was, how would he then stretch them back out?
Yeah, and I said, super
They wouldn't look good. They'd look all misshapen.
I'm sure at the time I had a very scientific explanation for you based on my knowledge of Kryptonian fact.
Superman 2, the Richard Donner version, is coming out on DVD.
It's getting really good reviews, too. Yeah.
Now, I don't have that much of a problem with the existing Superman 2, a lot of which was done by Richard Lester, who did the Beatles movies.
But the general problem is that what Lester did, he went for pratfall and he went for joke, whereas what Donner went for was realism as much as he could, a sort of heightened sort of Norman Rockwell realism. But the reviews have been awesome, and there's one famous scene which they never shot, which is Lois pulls a gun on Clark and shoots him.
Right.
And, of course, he doesn't react, but then it turns out it was Blanks, and that's how she figures out that he's Superman. But they never shot that scene, but they actually, for Margot Kidder's screen test with Christopher Reeve, they had the set built, which they used to do back in those days.
Right.
And so they've inserted the screen test as that scene in the film.
Right.
So they've really done a very
good
job.
And if they had to digital it up a bit, or?
I think Warners have spent the money getting the negatives all cleaned up beautifully.
I mean, there's so many stories about what happened there, but they were shooting Superman 1 and 2 at the same time. Yeah. And then Brando was going to get, if they used any footage of him from the in the second movie, they're going to have to send him a check for about $10 million.
Yeah, but the only reason Brando demanded that is because the Sulkeens, who were the producers, fired Richard Donner.
Yeah.
Basically, what happened, they were running out of money. They had 100% of Superman 1 in the can. They had 80% of Superman 2 in the can. They said to Donner, go and finish off Superman, edit it up, get it out there so we can get some money coming in. And then they fired him when he only had 20% more of Superman 2 to do. So they brought in Richard Lester, who to this day Donner hates his guts.
Because
they were friends at the time. And Lester came in and reshot stuff, and the actors completely lost faith in the project because they loved Richard Donner so much. And from Brando's point of view, he simply said, well, if you haven't got... I signed on to this because of Richard Donner. If Donner's not going to be there, you have to pay me $10 million now... for the 3 minutes of footage you want to use.
And I want it all in bacon.
Yes. With a padlock around it, so I can't eat it. But
so, well, anyway, we're getting the final, you know, we'll be able to compare. Because they're putting out a DVD with both versions. That's going to be interesting.
It's going to be really good.
And it's really everything that was wrong with the last Superman movie. Not enough people chucking buses through billboards.
Punching guys into the sun.
Punched into the sun. That's what you want to be in a Superman movie.
Not enough, like Superman's got all these, like, the problems of the world to solve. Yeah. But he's decided to pick on, like, street hoodlums stealing watches.
That's right. I love that. When he just targets one guy.
He's taking cats out of trees.
Yeah.
You know, that's the Superman
we love. That's my soups.
All right, the Superman debate can continue at another time. We need music. What have you got, Ed Cavalier?
You know what? I'm tired of guitars.
Really?
I'm tired of... I've moved on. Like, there's a new thing in the world, which is called synth. Synth drums, synth.
Wow, we've ended the 80s, have we?
We've ended the late 80s, perhaps.
Ah, pretty cutting edge stuff.
Look, I don't want to... I want people to sort of stand back from the radio, because this might just blow your mind, all right? Everybody, listen to the sounds of the future. 2, 3, 4. See this? See?
The future, is it?
Yeah, these are not actual instruments. These are synthesized instruments I'm putting through a machine.
Wow.
Whew. All right.
The future, it's so octagonal.
It's almost like a new order.
Hey, my feet are starting to tap, Ed.
You see what I'm saying?
Is that a good sign?
Yeah, look, and now you're wearing a headband you didn't know you had.
Oh, hang on.
That's new order.
Loving it.
True faith. Here at Triple M or at KOFM if you're in Newcastle.
Ding, ding.
Oh, it's our movie episode. Lockie Hume is here.
Good evening.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about things you've tried to copy from the movies.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to give the number now so people can start calling in, because I don't think we'll get to a song. 1-3-3-5-3 is the number.
Yes.
And to give you an example of what we're talking about, because we were just running through stuff that you might have seen in a movie and tried to emulate.
Yes.
Well, I don't know what movie it was from, but I remember when I was like a teenager, my buddy Slingo had just got his driver's license.
Right.
And he drove his car at me.
Did he just?
Right. And I tried to jump up onto the bonnet and like run over the roof of the car so the car went underneath me. Right.
That's
so
I've always wondered if that would work.
No, it didn't work.
Didn't,
I slipped and went smack onto the hood. But
didn't that happen again at the premiere of Macbeth? Didn't Jeffrey Wright come at you in a station wagon?
Yeah, I couldn't see if he was driving though, because you can't really see over the steering wheel.
Oh, no.
Oh, phones will be smashed.
I tried to do the thing from, I think it's Lock Up, the Stallone movie, where you throw the belt.
Yeah, no, it's Tango and Cash.
Yeah.
Tango and Cash, when Stallone and Kurt Russell throw the belt.
That's it. I tried to throw the belt, and we erected this like bit of wire, sort of rope at my friend's house. And when I was a kid, and it just you throw the belt over. That's fine.
What do you do? You throw what?
Oh, it's like a flying. You
turn into a flying pot.
Yeah, I'm being chased by a baddie.
Yeah,
I've got to get down there. And there's nothing I can do. I can't jump. Whip the belt over.
Did you do it over an actual power cord though? Power line?
Well, no, because we got some rope and tied it to a fence and then onto a balcony. And I jumped up, and then just the two fence palings. And when as soon as my body weight got on it, the fence just fell over.
How come that happens? How come we can't just be as cool as Kurt Russell? You know?
Well.
I know. Hey, I just remembered the movie where I was trying to emulate Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future.
Where the skateboard goes under the car. There's so many
Slingo
things.
Slingo and I were Back to the Future maniacs. That's what we were trying to do.
I'm very keen, as I've mentioned before, to emulate, so many movies where you've lost the keys to your car, so just reach under the steering column. Oh, two bits of wire. Touch them together.
But there's another movie thing you can do.
What's
another
that?
Movie thing you can do, which is pull the visor down and the spare set will drop.
Oh, there's always a set of keys up there. All right, start thinking about that, everybody. And
good idea. That I'm acting out kind of that I don't really want to be because I seem to constantly be acting out Anthony Michael Hall's dorky friend character for 16 Candles, which is nice.
You're the fifth wheel. Yeah. Is 26 that what you're doing?
Years on, it's going swimmingly.
Wow, so it's you're sort of halfway to John Cryer country.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
I've just noticed today, though, with you, Ed, maybe it's just me, but this session of the movie show has sort of turned into a bit of an outing and therapy session for you. We're dealing
the
with your...
like that.
Your, yeah, it is. It's
family issues? That's a whole week of the show. That's scheduled for later.
That'll be a 12-hour podcast.
It's going to be a big one. But just while we're waiting for people to call in, because Ed used to work at a video shop, and Mr. Marsland requested this sketch. This is a sketch from 10 years ago from Martin Malloy.
Yeah.
And so you'll notice the film references are slightly out of date.
On this show,
as opposed to our show or the one you're about to play?
Both. But let's just hop in the time machine and go off to a party.
Oh, mate, I see what you're saying, but it's no Bombay Rock. I mean, I remember seeing Moving Pictures on stage with Swanee one night when the original bass player from Avalanche just jumps out of it. Sorry, do I know you?
It's you, isn't it?
Who?
It is everybody, it's him.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Do your line.
What line?
Come on, mate, you know the one. Just do it, do the line.
If I do, will you stop pestering me?
Come on, just do it.
All right. Bit of quiet, please. Have you ever bought or rented a video that wasn't quite right?
All right, mate, you are a legend.
Okay, mate, you've had your fun, now piss off.
Thanks, mate.
So, anyway, Gadinski and Barnsley rock up with that bloke who used to play session keyboards for Wah Wah Knee. And Jimmy says, mate, we've got Doc Neeson unconscious in the booth. Diesel's coming over with the nugget.
Mate, just put it on.
Oh, hang on a sec. Oh, shit.
Mate, what's that number you say?
What number?
Come on, you know.
1-800.
That's it, mate. Could you call for us?
Oh, yeah.
Come on. All these guys are waiting to see this tape.
All right.
Oh, legend.
1-800. Hello. I've got what looks like a dodgy tape.
Nah, mate, say it properly.
I may have bought...
Or rented
a tape that isn't quite right. That's right. An inferior copy recognisable by the absence of copyright and other symbols on the spine. No, I'm not taking the piss. Well, actually, it is me, but I really do have a tape that isn't quite right. It's, well, I can't quite make out the name. It has what I'd call a poorly presented jacket. The title appears to contain the word anal.
What?
Hello? Hello?
Mate, what'd you say that for?
Well, look, it says anal.
Anaconda. It's Anaconda. It's not even supposed to be out on video yet.
Well, the name's just handwritten and texter. I mean, how...
Now what are we supposed to do, you dipshit?
Oh, now, hang on a second. I happen to...
All right. Who called up about a copy of Some Like It Anal? Come on, that video's been banned in 5 states.
Who was this guy here?
Oh, yeah. little shit.
Hey, all right. Oh, right. Come on, fellas, break it up. Oh, hey, what's this? A pirate copy of Anaconda?
It's his.
Now, hang on.
Sir, don't you realise pirate videos rob artists and studios of their actual income?
Yeah. It's rightful.
What?
Pirate tapes rob studios of their rightful income.
Looks like we got a smart ass, boys.
Hang on.
Better teach him some manners. Jeez. I always said there was something about that guy that wasn't quite right.
Zero, dear.
Oh, man.
No.
Brilliant stuff.
Don't you know the slogan? You know that slogan, don't you?
Yeah. Which one?
The warning.
Not quite right. At which point do you want me to crack into it?
Yeah.
If you've ever bought or rented a videotape that wasn't, you may believe being a pirated copy, please phone this toll-free number for advice or write to P.O. Box 515 Mona Vale.
Wow.
What's fascinating, and when any time you guys play, though, the old Martin Moore stuff, what fascinates me is how you sound exactly the same tone.
Yeah.
But Mick started out like this. Hi, I'm Mick Malloy. And now he's like, you know, I'm Mick Malloy.
Not as many Winnie Blues at this end of the table.
You know what I mean?
But no, what I'm saying is that you can do that whole...
Yeah, I can.
And you've often done it on the show.
Yeah.
Is that something you would bust out to impress the lady?
Yeah, and look, here we are. As I say, Anthony Michael Hall. You know, while the Matt Dillon-esque friends of mine are cranking on with the hot ladies.
Hello to Vicky Ma, who was the producer of that sketch.
No.
But let's climb a mountain, shall we?
Yeah. My favourite bit of that sketch is the wasn't quite right. The guy in the background.
That's Mick, surely. That was Mick.
No, it's all time. They're all you, aren't
it's
they?
It's seven me's.
Yeah, it's all you.
Oh, really?
I just can't get enough of me.
Oh.
And neither can we, Tone.
We need a full bench here. Could you open up microphone four as we welcome Sean from The Shambles, which is a show... Goes out on Channel 31.
No one gets it at all. So.
Community television in Melbourne.
That's not true. I was watching it in Hollywood the other week.
That's right. It was
rating its ass off.
It's about the same sort of quality as a Screech video.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Hey, don't knock it, because there's going to be a lot of heat on Screech because of that.
That's right. There's a lot of dirty heat
and a lot of Screech. Heat.
Now, Sean is our industry observer today. We occasionally have industry observers. It's like the blokes who check that the Oz Lotto's being conducted correctly. But we're talking about things from movies that you may have tried to do in real life. Have you ever done something like that,
well,
Sean?
Well, I'm a bit like Lockie. And I think Michael J. Fox has touched all our lives at some point. Yeah. And I actually tried to do that as well, except because we were filming a sketch. And I went to jump on the bonnet, did the flip, and then knocked off the rearview mirror the guy had. So it was just it's just a wonky arm thing for a long time. And that was... I don't know.
But you had a crack at it,
though. It was dangerous.
Mm. You had a crack at it.
Yeah, that's good. The one that's tempting is the Teen Wolf bus surf.
Oh, yes. That's a tempting thing to do.
Yeah.
Did you notice in Teen Wolf that they all of a sudden just decided to change the, what's his name?
Michael J. Fox.
No, the other guy. What's his name?
Styles.
And just, as if no one would notice that Styles was a different person.
Hey, I got to get a Boytown reference in here because you'll appreciate this.
Go on.
When we Boytown, which we've got the opening tomorrow night, pretty much everybody in this in Triple M is somehow associated with that movie.
That's right.
So everybody will be there, but. I played this character, Boomstein, and I wanted to have some T-shirt designs that I would wear in the movie. Mm. Now, you will see in the film that I've got a T-shirt at one point that says, I'm with Satan.
Yes.
That's what Styles wears in Teen Wolf.
Oh,
I did a Teen Wolf reference in Boytown.
Well done, Lachey.
Is there a Teen Wolf 2 reference, though?
No,
see, that would be really impressive.
I am so impressed with that.
You mentioned Martin Malloy. We did this on Martin Malloy, things that you've emulated from movies.
Oh, yeah.
And my favourite one was a fairly drunk bloke who called up and said that he lived on a farm that had a waterfall, but quite a small waterfall, just like about 15, 20 feet. And him and his mates were quite drunk, and they decided to copy that scene from The Mission where...
strapped into a crucifix.
Strapped to a crucifix, and they've gone like, okay, we'll strap you to a crucifix, and we'll push you over this waterfall. It's only 20 feet. What could happen?
Nothing.
And what could possibly go wrong with that stunt?
And like in the movie, he's gone over head first, so he's upside down, and about 3 feet over the waterfall, he's got jagged on a rock, and the whole thing's just stuck there. In the waterfall with him hanging upside down and the cops were called. So that's copying a movie gone horribly wrong.
Right.
But you see, the thing is, like, you know, we're talking about, you know, Sean is talking about a bit of Michael J. Fox and old Ed Cavalier over here is trying to do a bit of Stallone-Russell action. You know, if you're going to copy something from a movie, you want it to be cool. Yeah, you want to accuse those guys. These guys must have been really drunk. I mean, who wants to be De Niro and Jeremy Irons in The Mission?
Oh, I don't think anyone wants to be Jeremy Irons. I've never wanted to be Jeremy Irons.
Really? I do a mean Jeremy Irons.
Oh, here we go.
I love them all, Sonny. Alexandra, I love them all.
All right. That's enough Jeremy Irons for one program.
You have
Who
no
is
idea.
On the line?
Hello. Is it Stealth?
Yes, how are you?
Oh, hello, Stealth. What have you done, dare I ask?
Look, I've got to say, I'm one of the biggest James Bond fans in the country.
Good man.
In the world.
Okay.
Now, I've converted my car into a James Bond car.
How did you do that? Is it just go underwater?
Well, I've tried that, you see. It's a Nissan Pintara, so it doesn't go that
Fair
fast.
Fair enough.
Ah, yeah.
I think Bond drives a Pintara in the new film.
Yes, I think so. But inside, it's got switches and, with little labels underneath that say rockets and machine guns and stuff.
Yeah, and what are they connected up to?
A light that goes on when you switch it.
Great.
Hey, look, sweet.
Can we ask you, what do you think of Daniel Craig as the new Bond?
Look, I've seen the ads on YouTube, obviously, because it's the best website ever.
You know it.
Absolutely.
And I like him. I think he's the best since Connery.
It does look good.
It's looking good.
They've got a sort of a blokey, a less metrosexual Bond.
He does look like he's in the Connery ilk. My only thing is, why couldn't they have just done the proper thing and tinted his hair dark, which is as described in the Fleming novels. Yeah. Bond has dark hair.
Right.
And they've obviously made a decision, because what's driven this whole new recasting and the firing of Pierce Brosnan and the hiring of Daniel Craig is that the Broccoli family are terrified of the Jason Bourne films with Matt Damon. They've really been stealing their thunder. So they've almost cast somebody who even sort of has the same colouring as Matt Damon. Take him on.
I remember when Cubby Broccoli died and the Channel 10 News, I swear to you, they went, and the death today of film producer Cubby Broccoli. Oh,
is
it Broccoli?
Broccoli. You know, that broccoli, the plant, the vegetable, was invented by the Broccoli family. That's how they made their fortune. Didn't
really?
You know that? Yeah, it's a cross-pollination between cauliflower.
Broccoli?
They cross-pollinated cauliflower with something else, which I can't remember what it was. They imported it into America, made their fortune when Cubby took over the family. That's why it's called broccoli. It's named for their family. And when he took over the family fortune, he teamed up with Harry Saltzman and bought the Ian Fleming books instead of going on with the family.
I'm trying to think of another film producer who's named after a vegetable. I can't come up with one.
The vegetable is named after the film producer.
Okay, hang on a sec.
That is a true fact.
Weren't we talking to callers?
Hang on. So I can invent vegetables?
You can invent a vegetable.
There are still some vegetables yet to be invented.
You were invented.
Yeah.
I tell you what.
I'm sure we have callers. I know there's some on the line there.
Right over his head. Windswept Marsland got it.
Invent a vegetable.
Is that our dovetail?
Invent a vegetable.
We can't even get to the primary topic.
Let's focus on
tomorrow. It's Invent a Vegetable Friday.
Maybe this should be in the meeting.
Get out there and cross-pollinate, people. Martha, how are you?
It's Martha. Hello.
Martha,
Martha?
Hello, Martha. Now, what did you do?
Well, actually, I watched the movie Dumb and Dumber, and he got stuck to the ski lift chair with his tongue.
With the tongue.
Yes.
And I actually went and opened my freezer door and licked it.
And did it work?
Yes, I did get stuck.
And should we send someone round now? How long have you been there?
No, I did get off early.
Yeah, okay. And it's really not a good film to copy things from Dumb and Dumber. Like, for example, I don't think it'd be good to beat up somebody who's having a heart attack.
No,
that, or I don't think turbo laxative in your coffee is necessarily a good idea.
So a scene where they drink some liquid from the beer bottles that they've been driving.
Yes, urine consumption.
That's
not
probably
a good,
not
a good thing to do. Kate Langbrook and Fiona Scott Norman will attest to that.
Hello there, Mark. How are you?
Okay.
Mate, I'm great. Tell us, what have you done?
Movie Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
Every time we play golf with a couple of my mates on the 18th, it's a ritual to have a go at a Happy Gilmore.
Really?
Yeah.
To just run up and have a smack at it?
Run up and have a smack, either pull your back out or hit it left or right.
Pull your back out. That's a good result.
Wow.
And have you ever managed to hit it, like, true, like Happy does? Has anyone ever managed to absolutely cream it that's flying, you know, not true and straight?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. We've had a couple that have gone pretty straight, but then left, they go a little bit left at the end. But, no, it's actually a bit of fun. So.
See, now, if you were really dedicated to reenacting scenes from Happy Gilmore on the golf course, you'd need the host of The Price is Right, being Larry Emder in this country, to pop down there for a fist fight.
Oh, yeah. Now we're talking.
That's it. This seems to be the running theme today, doesn't it? Let's just take, we're taking them all on. It's gone from just sort of simple film criticism, like when we went after the Goot, and now as we're just declaring fisticuffs.
Okay. It's
just
raw.
Stratton's been named, now Larry Emder's in the mix.
It's a raw, ugly, violent
I'm seeing
program.
A card here. I'm seeing a knight now. It's Mark v. Larry Emder as the undercard, right?
Yeah.
Main event. Stratton, Martin, G-string, mud wrestling
That's
go.
That's it, and we call it Martin Palooza.
Oh!
I hope this is radio.
Sizzle!
I hope it's not television.
Hello, Luke, how are you?
Hey, not too bad, mate. How are you doing today?
Excellent, sir. What have you been doing?
Not much, just working hard.
Good.
Yeah, look, the part I always do, don't know if you guys have seen the Super Troopers.
I have. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, That's Super Troopers.
Meow, it's a very good movie. And the part that I always try to do at work is putting in the meows to the sentences to see how many times I can actually do it.
What's your record?
Probably about two before people catch on at the moment, actually. I'm not very good at it.
Wow. Do we need a demonstration?
I think we gave us one. He meowed at me at the very start.
Ah.
Yeah.
I certainly did.
Ah, I'm onto you.
And there's another one as well in Super Troopers called The Repeater.
What's that?
The Repeater.
All right, that's enough of that, Luke. Starting to freak out.
There's quite a lot in Super Troopers.
Hello, Phil. Phil? Phil?
It looks like they're just opening his cell door.
Phil,
he's reenacting a scene from Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Hello, Phil, are you there? Have you just been bludgeoned to death or something, Phil? Are you...
Listen carefully in the background. It sounds like a prison.
Yeah, what's he doing?
It sounds like a prison now. It was like a gate being opened.
Well, shush, Lockie, so we can hear.
Wow. Imagine if we were to hear something that could get us onto the news.
I know.
You know, like some key piece of evidence that was missing from the Warren Commission.
Yeah, I'd blow out the De Palma film where he records the assassination.
That'd be great. But
it just sounds like some guy's got his phone on by mistake and it's in his back pocket and he's walking down to the Bourke Street Mall.
If you're on the line to us, say hello. Hello.
He's gone.
It was
Yuvie Boll.
That's
it
who it
was. Yuvie Boll stalking us.
Well, I think we've effectively run over by several minutes. Thank you, Lockie Hugh, for helping us achieve our goal.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks, Windswept Marsland.
You've got that Macbeth film still in cinemas, and Boytown opening October 19th.
Yeah. Let's go, Boytown.
And Sean from The Shambles, you've got a DVD in the shops.
You will be appearing on it, apparently. I don't know if you know this yet, though.
I didn't even know I was being filmed, now I'm on The Shambles DVD.
It was out the front of your window.
Ooh.
And obviously Richard Marsland, you'd have something to plug.
I've got absolutely nothing and I'm doing it all day.
Ah, good man.
And he does it better than anybody else. Our key phrase today, Ed, what was it?
Oh, you'll bar up. Now, No, nothing.
Nothing to plug at all.
I'm going to forward promote what's actually happening.
What's happening?
Your essential 2000 countdown coming out with delicious music.
Oh, the countdown continues here on Triple M.
Yeah.
Over at KO, they're just doing their own thing.
See ya, Super Troopers.